Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again to the Dugout Docs. It's another week, it's another episode, and we're happy to be here with you once again. I'm John Isman, along with my good friend and co-host Zeke Grissom. Zeke, how you doing, man?
Doing great, John. Things are starting to warm up a little bit here in Tennessee. I think hopefully we've kind of gotten past our last cold spurt. My strawberries are doing great. I can't wait to see those grow stronger. But John, this is our first in-season podcast, essentially, where we get to kind of dive in and really check in to see how players are doing, and I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. I'm excited too. Baseball's in full swing once again. March Madness finished last night. The women finished on Sunday, so we kind of paved the way for baseball to take the main stage here for a little bit, which I'm really excited about. Of course, there's the NBA and the NHL going on too, but I mean, let's be real. Baseball is the belle of the ball right now, at least for us. I know you mentioned strawberries, Zeke. Any plans for those strawberries? Any desserts? Yeah.
Yeah. So, growing up, strawberries and sugar. I mean, literally just pile of strawberries with a pile of sugar on top was my favorite. But these days, I try to take a healthier track. Just eat them raw, essentially. Wash them up real good. Slice them up. Boys like them, so that's great. And just looking forward to having something I can grow myself and take care of.
There you go. There you go. It's kind of like, you know, growing your own strawberries is kind of like taking the approach of some of these ball clubs, like the Orioles, right? Of just kind of the Rays, sort of investing in your own homegrown talent and growing and nurturing everything.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going for. I really had the Orioles in mind whenever I was I was going that route. So I hope they're as successful as the Orioles.
Yes.
Now, John, have you seen the big news? Speaking of the Orioles?
Yes. I'd say 5 minutes before we hopped on this podcast, we hear that Jackson Holliday, shortstop, number one prospect in all of baseball, is getting the call. He's coming up to Baltimore. That's some exciting news. I think the baseball world is going to be a buzz waiting for him to debut. So that's super exciting.
But absolutely.
I was talking about strawberries.
Yeah, my bad. I was excited about Jackson Holliday, considering, you know,
a little bit. Yeah.
Fantasy team and all, but
it's a, I know. Hey, what happened in that fantasy matchup last week? How's your team doing right now?
I think we got gypped, man. I think we got gypped. We may get into that a little further today's podcast. John pointed out that there was a lot of interesting things that happened in that.
It was.
One of which is my team's filled with a bunch of starting pitchers that are only RP eligible.
Yes.
Which forced me out of some saves. John's Detroit Tigers has a good guy. Is it Jake Foley?
Jared Foley.
Yeah, Jared Foley. He's been doing great. Hader finally got a save for me, but he was sitting on the bench because I had to use a starter.
So. Hey, but I had
the whole thing.
Shoto Imanaga was dealing through four innings, and then his start got cut short by a rain delay. So,
and you got better believe I was fist pumping, man.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were because he was on a roll. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But yeah, man, no, I'm glad you're doing well. I was just going to bring up with the whole strawberries. My mother used to make a really, really good strawberry shortcake.
Oh, yeah.
A little biscuit, you know, you put the strawberries on there, get a little dollop of Cool Whip on there. And
a little dollop of Daisy?
No, not Daisy. No, Daisy would be pretty disgusting.
I guess that's sour cream, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, no. Maybe in a
dollop of Daisy. You know,
a dollop of Daisy. But that reminds me of when I used to have dessert with my family. So I do love strawberries. I am jealous of that. I'm trying to think. We had the eclipse yesterday. So that was really cool. Did you hear this, Zeke? Originally, the Yankees and the Marlins were scheduled to play at 2 o'clock, or I believe it was 3 o'clock Eastern, which was right during the time of the eclipse in New York. And I'm sure whoever planned that initially got fired, and they moved it back a few hours to 6 o'clock or 5 or 6 o'clock. They moved it 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Which is very interesting. So,
yeah, that'd be an interesting to just move it back 30 minutes or so. Just have a moment. Were you at our first year of SEO, first year of optometry school? Was the last time we had an eclipse, and we were all had like a outing at the Redbirds game, the Cardinals AAA affiliate in Memphis, and
Yes, I
had
do remember
the
that.
glasses they handed out, and the whole stadium looked up at the sky when the time was right, and it was a pretty cool event.
It was cool. Southern College of Optometry put it on. I believe, Zeke, that was like the week before school had started when we
Yeah.
were entering our first year in optometry school. And I thought I had bought tickets online, and I got to the event, and I, in fact, did not buy tickets online. So Sam and I had to scramble and get some tickets, which we did. It was fine. We had a great time. We kind of sat away from the SEL crowd. But Zeke, that was the first time, because I'm from Michigan. That was the first time I was outside at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in sweltering heat in
You got
Memphis.
roasted.
Oh, I had to leave at like, I never leave games early. I left like seventh or eighth inning because I'm like, I can't handle it anymore. I was in the heat of the sun, and I just couldn't take it. My northern blood just couldn't handle the southern heat.
You haven't been caught up on our podcast, go back and listen to the 2 episodes ago where we talked about John and
Why
his
I stay
experience
indoors.
outdoors. Yeah.
Yes. Why I have myopia now, right? Is
Yes.
because of all that. So, absolutely. But
That's
good
funny
times.
though.
Great,
Good
great,
times indeed.
good times. If you're in the Shelbyville or the Lombard area and you feel like you may have some signs or symptoms related to solar retinopathy, feel free to reach out to Zeke or myself, and we'll get you taken care of.
Yeah, we'll do some consoling.
Or
It's
photokeratitis.
it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you stare at the stone without your glasses. But Zeke, it's time to talk about some baseball. I know you're ready for it. You're trying to jump the gun a little bit. I try to give a little banter. I try to listen to the audience, you
Hey,
know,
that was good.
and
Audience loves it, John.
audience loves it. Our fans are our 10 to 15 fans love it. So yeah, just kidding. Well, not actually kidding. But anywho, Zeke, there's a big
Yes.
story that's been sweeping the nation. Right, sweeper sweeping. Okay, trying to,
Yeah.
but it's
That
not
could be an
so.
issue.
It could be an issue, right? Because we are seeing an alarming number of starting pitchers early on in the season come down with arm injuries. The one that hits closest to home for you, of course, Spencer Strider, the guy that we were all talking about. We love this guy. We love his stuff. Unfortunately, noticed a bit of arm and elbow strain after his recent start against the Diamondbacks. I believe it was either for, I think it was Friday night. Had an MRI, revealed a strained UCL. He's going to be meeting with a second doctor to get another opinion. But Tommy John surgery is very, very much on the table here. Huge blow for the Braves. So before we talk about some of the other arm injuries, because we'll get into that here, tell me what it means to potentially lose Strider for the season. And are you hopeful that maybe this isn't as bad of a news as we think?
Yeah, John, I mean, you know how big of an impact this is. We talk a lot on the podcast about when you get down to postseason baseball, which is ultimately what matters. Having a stud three starting pitchers is so key because those are the teams that make it far. I don't really care how good your offense is. For whatever reason, when it comes to playoff time, you need the starting pitching. And Spencer Strider, during the spring and even coming off of last year, was looking like one of the best pitchers of our generation. Power fastball, sweeping slider, and he developed a curveball to add a little bit of variation to his delivery or to his arsenal. And my dad literally said a couple weeks ago, Spencer Strider might look like one of the best pitchers I've ever seen at this point.
And he's been around the Kevin's been around the block. He's watched a fair amount of pitchers. No offense to
Yeah.
Kevin, but he's paid close attention for a long time.
Yeah. And that's
That's
something
a
that me and
big
my dad
scoop.
have always been interested in is pitching. So we analyze that quite a bit and really find it fascinating. Something about Spencer Strider is, first of all, it hurts the Braves' chances, but something I kind of lean into is the year the Braves won the World Series in 21 was a year that they lost Ronald Acuna to a season-ending injury. At the time was the hitting version of Strider, and still is today for that matter. But they've suffered big losses before and have been able to rally. What I think this means for the Braves in general is Chris Sale is going to have to continue what he's been doing, which is pitching really well, and probably become a focal point for the rotation. Max Fried has suffered a slow start. People are
That's
worried about him. I'm
slow
not.
start. Slow start's putting it pretty nicely though, Zeke. I mean, he's barely pitched two innings.
He's been known for that though. I'm personally not worried about it as long as he doesn't come out that he's injured. But yeah, it puts a lot of strain on the Braves, but I do think they're in a position to where they have enough talent in the farm system, especially with pitching, to be able to fill some of those back end roles, and just like it has in the past, may give other guys an opportunity to rise to the occasion. So, tough loss for sure, but I still feel comfortable that we're going to win the division. It just come down to playoff run.
Sure. I think that's a good point. I mean, devastating loss. Not great for the sport to see him go down, but I mean, you look at the Texas Rangers last year, the whole thought was, oh, their rotation's weak. It's weak. It's weak. Guys stepped up. Eovaldi stepped up. John Gray stepped up, even without Jacob deGrom in Max Scherzer, right? So it's not a death sentence by any means. It's just going to make the road a little bit harder, but it's time for guys like Charlie Morton and Reynaldo Lopez and maybe even Bryce Elder to step into the spotlight a little bit. And I think the Braves will be fine. But Strider's not alone, Zeke. We had a couple of other really devastating pitcher, devastating injuries to pitchers. Shane Bieber, Zeke. I don't know if you saw this, but very, very encouraging two starts. He had 20 strikeouts over two starts. He is going to need Tommy John surgery as well. It's a very interesting case. I mean, this kind of sucks for him because he's in his last year of his contract with Cleveland. He was potentially going to be on the trade market. Now he goes into free agency, coming off of an injury, which really hurts for him as well. If you look at Cleveland, they came into the season, you look January, February, thinking they'd have Lucas Giolito and Shane Bieber. Now, two guys at the front end of the rotation are out for the season. That's a big blow. And I don't know if you saw this or not, Zeke, but Shane Bieber was almost in tears saying, I had just rekindled my love for pitching after he had a couple of rough years. And now this happens. Really, really sad to see. That's not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, not good for him, the team, for baseball in general. I kind of go back to I think this is the last podcast we were talking about Shane Bieber and how he'd had such a great start, the first start. And then he came out in his second start and his velocity was back down again on his fastball. And I pointed that out. But it was such a shock though, because I mean, Saturday morning I woke up and I was trying to find news on trying
Strider.
to find MRI results on Strider because he's supposed to have an MRI on Saturday. And I'm looking, and then all of a sudden Shane Bieber pops up, and I'm like, where the heck did this come from? Because up until the moment when they announced that, there was no indication that there was even any sort of concerns at all. But I do think this is an interesting comparison, though. And it kind of leads into our further discussion on arm injuries in baseball. Because a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, it's because of how fast pitchers are throwing, this max effort, max velocity way of thinking. And that certainly fits the mold of Spencer Strider. Now, in addition to that, one thing I was listening to this week, commentary on the Spencer Strider injury, was that Strider has already had Tommy John surgery once. And coming off of his initial Tommy John surgery, which I think was in high school or first year of college, something like that, Strider completely reworked his delivery to cut down on arm strain. And that's how he developed his Quadzilla quads that he's known for. Big legs, he uses a lot of lower body torque to generate his velocity. And up until this injury, had really provided him with the platform to pitch late into games, pitch a lot of innings, do really well because of it. So you get that on one end, but then Shane Bieber's on the complete other end. It's a guy that really doesn't throw that hard. Throws a lot of off speed, really not known as a max effort type of guy, though he's a guy who's struck out a lot of people this year. So where does this lead? What is the actual cause to this increase in injuries? I think there's a lot of variables involved.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, and it's a very interesting conversation, right? Because there's some people are saying one thing, some are saying the other, right? So The big thing that came out over this last week is the MLB Players Association, who is very anti-pitch clock. I don't know if you saw this or not, but they said, hey, we think that this is related to the pitch clock, right? We've got guys pitching at an increased rate during the games. It's causing an alarming number of injuries. We're seeing it correlated with this, yada, yada, right? But the MLB proper, right, refuted that. They've had an independent analysis that was done by Johns Hopkins University, right? Big deal, big medical school, of course, that found no evidence to support that the introduction of the pitch clock has increased injuries. Essentially saying there's no empirical evidence that pitchers who were quicker in 2023 were more likely to incur injuries, right? Another thing that I would add to that idea of the pitch clock and why I don't think it's the primary cause here, is folks have been doing this in the minor league for almost a decade. We saw the pitch clock initiated in 2015. If you want to talk about fall ball, even 2014. I don't personally think the pitch clock is the top contributor, but it probably plays a role. What do you say about that? What's your take on the pitch clock?
I don't really think it's the cause either. I do think it's somewhat coincidental. I think there's a lot in the mechanics and the way you guys are pitching. Max spin rate, max velocity, putting torque on the elbow and arm. I think we'll get a little more into that. It's hard to say. And I think that's the interesting thing though, is there's a lot of theories out there, but there's never a theory that really gets a lot of momentum. And Tommy John in general, the injury and the procedure to fix it, all that sort of stuff, it's been around forever. You'd think with as much money that's in the sport, we'd have this figured out by now, but obviously it's not that simple. So I think to be able to point to one causative factor is just it's impossible. And I like what you said about, I mean, they've been doing this minors for pushing 10 years now. And that's really kind of been what the minors have turned into, is a little bit of a testing ground for the MLB to experiment with different rules and rules changes. One thing that I think could be a problem is not necessarily the specific thing that the MLB is changing, but the fact that they're changing so many different things all at once. I know Tyler Glasnow had his forearm injury back in 2021 after they suddenly and very quickly changed their policy on banned substances. And at the time, it was almost comical because, I mean, it was widespread and widely known that pitchers were using substances. There was really no doubt about it. And it was, I mean, you love the guy, Trevor Bauer, but
I
he
don't.
basically came out and he's like, hey, look, everybody's doing it. Everybody knows they're doing it. So I'm just going to come out and say, I'm going to do it too because everybody else is doing it. And why should I, not do it when it's beneficial?
Well,
But
you bring up an interesting point, Zeke, and I wanna talk about Glasnow a little bit because I saw it was circulating on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, right? But I rewatched that interview that he had in 2021. And his main gripe was not necessarily banning sticky substances necessarily. He said, hey, just don't do it in the middle of the season. Because if you remember, it was, what was it, in May, I think it was, something like that. We're about a month into the season. And then the MLB says, oh, we're done with sticky substances. You can't use it. He said, you can't do that when I've gone through a whole preparation in the offseason thinking I could. Going cold turkey, essentially, as you said, was almost impossible, right? But an interesting point that he brought up, and I want you to even try this if you're listening right now. Think about just kind of loosely act like you're gripping a baseball, and then with your other hand, your left hand, feel the muscles in your elbow, right? Right where we're talking about Tommy John surgery. Now with your grip, increase it even more than you are. Like get really tight on that grip because you have to increase your grip if you don't have that sticky substance. Feel how many more muscles are being recruited, right? You can feel the extra tension that you're placing on those specific core muscles in your arm by having to increase your grip to get control of the ball, right? So that's kind of the main thing. Glasnow would say, there are parts of my body that I never knew could possibly get sore when I had to stop using the sticky substances. So I think it may be playing somewhat of a role, which I think is interesting.
Even from kind of the other end of the spectrum, the way they manipulate the baseballs, So not even substances and what you can and can't use, but the baseballs themselves, as far as how high the seams are, the tackiness of the balls, the slickness of the balls. I know from my own personal experience, when I'd play travel ball, you'd be in different cities, different weekends. Everybody used a different baseball. And by golly, if you got a ball that was super slick, that kind of had a little bit of a shell on it, like you couldn't grip that thing to save your life. And you would get more sore because you're concentrating more on that. So,
Absolutely.
and the MLB is notorious for switching baseballs,
Yeah, no
season to
consistency,
season,
right?
within the season, not
Right.
telling anybody they're switching balls, Yeah, they gotta quit changing things.
Absolutely.
But where I was getting to on that is it affects hitters too. I mean,
It does.
you've got the juice ball era, as we call it, where you had breakouts from guys that they have career seasons because all of a sudden they went from being wall scrapers, hitting warning track balls, to now they're able to hit an additional 10 feet, get the home run. And all of a sudden their career explodes. They get rid of that ball and now they suck again. You
Right.
know, and I mean, this is their livelihood and this is organizational structure as well. And the way the MLB manipulates it, it really changes the dynamics and what teams can and can't do. And
Yeah.
I don't
It
know.
does. There's a lack of consistency that's concerning. I read something too on Twitter. I believe it was Alex Wood was writing about this, and he said you even break it down, like you said, inconsistent with the balls, but also inconsistency with the mounds as well. They say almost every mound that he's been on in the MLB, there's a little bit of different texture. There's more give to some bumps than there are to others. Some are, there might be a little bit change in divots or elevation, all that stuff. It's very, very inconsistent playing surface as you go through the MLB. Another point that I'll bring up here, Zeke, that Wood had mentioned was just how often guys are pitching now. He said that back when he was first pitching, I want to say he mentioned it was like 2009, 2010 when he was in the major. I can't remember exactly when, but he said there were like veteran all-star type pitchers who, after the offseason, wouldn't throw a ball until spring training, right? So you're talking about 4 months where they are just, working out and staying in shape, but not throwing the ball. If you tell one of those younger pitchers to do that today, no way would they ever do that, right? Guys are consistently pitching and throwing at high rates. They're throwing at high rates as they go up through high school, travel ball, college ball, summer ball, right? So you're just seeing guys are throwing more and more and more than they ever had before, that the arms are getting fatigued potentially, right? And becoming more prone to those types of damage, which I thought was really interesting as well.
Absolutely, John. There's got to be a give somewhere. I personally think that we will have to see a shift in the way pitchers are treated. I think from college level and below, nothing will change because it's a race to the top. And things are so competitive now that people, I mean, kids are just going to have to do everything they can to get there. Once they get there and organizations know that this is a talent, this is a Spencer Strider, this is a Yuri Perez, this is a Tyler Glass now, I think instead of pitching five, six, seven innings, I really think if we're going to continue with the max effort velocity, the sweeping curveballs, the power changeups, all these pitches that induce, we think, induce a lot of strain on the arm, we're gonna have to shift to six or seven man rotations maybe to give you guys more breaks, or have more of a split game philosophy where, you have the opener that throws two times through the rotation or two times through the lineup. Then you have another guy that throws another four innings, and then you get the closer.
Absolutely. And you look at these guys that are being impacted by these forearm issues, right? We mentioned Strider and Bieber, but Yuri Perez, 19-year-old phenom for the Marlins, who's going to be out for the season with Tommy John surgery. Sandy Alcantara, who was a workhorse, who would always throw over 100 pitches essentially for the last 2 seasons. Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Gerrit Cole doesn't need Tommy John, but he might down the road. Shohei Ohtani, Jacob deGrom, all of these guys are starting pitchers.
Framber Valdez.
Framber Valdez, right? We'll talk about him in a little bit as well because he may be going down. All these guys, like you mentioned, are guys that are throwing 100 pitches per night. So I think it's very possible that you see. I don't know if I'd say the death of the starting pitcher necessarily, but you're right. At some point, you've got to decide: do we want this guy sidelined for 2 years at some point in his career, and are we going to ride him until the wheels fall off, or are we going to manage his innings a lot more and be delicate and only give him 3 or 4 innings per outing? I think that's potentially what we might see organizations do before anything is implemented by MLB proper. So we'll have to see. I will add this too. I just had a couple other nuggets of information that I dug up that I want to get to you. I don't know if you saw this. In 2008, the average four-seam fastball velocity, 91.9 miles per hour. In 2023, it was 94.2. So 2.3 miles per hour, that's a huge jump, right? I know we're like, oh, it's relative, ooh, 2 miles per hour. That's a big difference. Ask any major league batter if that's a big difference. Slider as well, 83.4, a slider bump up to 85.2. But again, we're seeing the introduction of the sweeper over the last couple of years. So getting a lot more horizontal movement on the ball, which is causing guys to kind of put that little extra spin into their delivery as well. And another thing that's interesting too, I thought it was interesting at least, in 2022, there were only 8 pitchers who threw 200 innings in a given season. In 2012, that number was 31 pitchers. In 1992, which is what, 30 years ago, 52 pitchers threw over 200 plus innings. So not as many guys are throwing as many innings necessarily, but there's got to be something going on with the way that the ball is being delivered, the way these guys are being coached, that's causing these injuries. So really sad to see. I hate it. I hope it doesn't happen. I like seeing pitchers on the field, but what are you going to do?
Last thing I'll say to this, because I do think all of those points are very interesting and very good research there, John.
Thank you.
If you take the increase in velocity on all the pitches, and then you also take, okay, the decrease in people throwing 200 plus innings, but also knowing, I mean, they're still pitching a lot of, or pitching 150, 160, 170 innings, which is still a lot. I watch a lot of exercise related things, and one of the topics I've seen recently that comes up a lot and has a lot of scientific research, double blind study sort of thing, strong evidence for, is when you're looking at working out, okay, you're essentially trying to break down muscle fibers to then grow bigger ones to some degree, hypertrophy. And to do that, to maximize that, there's you got the x-axis, or excuse me, the x-axis, which might be your number of reps. So are we doing 8 reps or 10 reps? And then on the vertical, the y-axis, you'd have intensity. So how much weight are you actually lifting? And it does not matter so much whether it's shifted more towards intensity or shifted more towards reps. It's the total volume underneath the curve. Okay, so kind of the totality of the two, or the total volume that increases the amount of muscle hypertrophy, which in baseball would not necessarily be a good thing because that's muscle breakdown, which provides more stress on the arm. So here we have an increase in intensity, okay, with probably only a minor decrease in volume. But when you expand that over the course of the year, which is what you're talking about earlier with guys not taking a 2 or 3 month break, but continually throwing throughout that season, all of a sudden the volume underneath that curve gets really big. So that's pretty cool. It's not cool for pitchers, but those are some very interesting points, John.
Very interesting. Very interesting. We'll have to see if any changes are implemented. Stuff to say, it's getting more attention. You've heard Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole make some comments about this. So keep an eye out for that kind of stuff. Usually when there's smoke, there's fire with this kind of stuff. And the MLB is not afraid to make changes, as we know.
Yeah,
So
probably happen tomorrow.
Rob Manfred specifically, not afraid to make changes. So one other thing I wanted to talk about before we talk about some of the action on the field, Zeke. Some interesting news with the Oakland Athletics, who are going to be moving to Sacramento starting next year. So the Oakland A's are essentially deciding, right? Or they're saying they're going to move to Las Vegas, right? They're trying to get the stadium going. There's still some issues there in terms of that getting finalized. But in the meantime, while that stadium is being built, they have to find somewhere to play. We thought it might be at the Coliseum where they're playing right now. That's not the case. Okay. The city of Oakland and the A's were not able to come to an agreement. So they've decided that from 2025 through 2027, they will be playing their games at Sutter Health Park, a 14,000 capacity AAA stadium that reportedly will require a lot of updates to make it major league ready, including alterations to facilities, particularly the bullpens. It's embarrassing, man. It's really
That's
embarrassing.
bad.
From what I heard is 14,000 is kind of in parentheses. Once they
So
make
that's like on the high end.
that's on the high end, and with some of the issues that they're going to have to fix to make it major league ready, that number is going to go down.
Wow. That's
The
crazy.
A's reportedly are not going to be paying to stay there for rent, but they are paying for all of the upgrades to the field. So it's a black eye, Zeke. It's a black eye.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, at what point does the MLB just get in there and say, hey, for the integrity of the league itself, we got to fix this? Because, for comparison's sakes, because I don't deal a lot in capacities and a lot of times those don't mean things to me, but I know when I went down, when we were living in Memphis, we'd go to some Ole Miss games down in Oxford. And Oxford's a big SEC school. They love their sports. And their baseball stadium, I believe, held 12,500, so 12,500 people. And they would fill that no problem on a weekend game, especially an SEC game. But it still felt like a small town atmosphere, you know what I mean? So to think that this major league stadium is probably going to be that, if that, plus not have very many fans in the stands for that matter, that sucks. And in Nashville, for instance, we have the Sounds. And up until about 4 or 5 years ago, they were in an old stadium and it had been around forever. I don't know how long. And you'd walk into the stadium and you're like, oh, this feels kind of grody, you know? And I always thought how it must feel for a player transitioning between AAA and the major leagues. And to think that now a team is going to have to play there for 2 or 3 years in a crappy stadium. That's just a slap in the face for anybody that's still there, you know? And how do you convince any, I mean, how are they going to convince any free agents to come join their team? How are they going to, sway prospects? Like if I'm a high school player and I get drafted by the Athletics, am I taking my luck and going to, an SEC school instead for a year
It
just
might
so
be
I
worth
get drafted by somebody else?
It really might be worth it. I think another thing that's embarrassing, Zeke, is the team is not going to carry a city name in these 3 years. They're just going to be called the Athletics. Not Sacramento, not Oakland, not Vegas. The Athletics. It's kind of
They
like,
have no fan base. They're not claiming anybody.
it's kind of like the Washington football team is what this feels like a little bit, except more embarrassing because they're playing in a minor league stadium. And I know we had the issue with the Toronto Blue Jays playing in Dunedin, but there was issues with COVID and the players couldn't go back and forth from Canada to US. That at least made a little bit of sense.
That's a federal issue, though.
Was a
That's
federal
that was
issue,
out of their
right?
control.
Right. This is completely within their control, completely within MLB and Rob Manfred's control. And I hear that the owners are kind of getting, talking with each other, and they're embarrassed by this. Well, guess what? Who approved the move from Oakland to Las Vegas? The owners unanimously did so. So you're allowing this clown franchise, which is honestly, it makes sense that their secondary logo is an elephant balancing a ball because it's nothing but a freaking circus out there, right? You're trusting this ownership to do things respectfully that makes the MLB look good? No. So it's somebody's got to step in here. It's awful. This is really, really, like I said, it's a black eye. Everybody's going to look at the Athletics and just cringe for the next 3 years, 4 years, if you include this year. It started with the fire sale of other players and not signing anybody in free agency. And now it's just a complete trash dumpster fire. And I honestly, I don't think the NBA at some point even stepped in with, what was it, the New Orleans Hornets and said, hey, this is a mess. We have to take ownership. Rob Manfred needs to step in and say, hey, this is a disaster. This is ruining evaluations of other franchises as well, although it probably isn't. But, you know, for the sake of argument, say that. And something needs to happen here because this is, it's a disgrace, man. It's really awful.
I just need the Braves to go ahead and take Paul Blackburn for him, on the cheap. Just
What
get
is
one
it?
last deal and one last steal from him before somebody takes over.
Absolutely. They
But
will sell somebody. They will sell people at the deadline because they don't want to pay for any contracts.
yeah. John, you gotta throw this stat out here too. John has the dimensions on the field for Sutter Health Park. It's gonna be 330 to left, 403 to center, and 325 to right. I literally think my high school field right now is about that size.
I believe it. I believe it. Balls are going to soar out of this. And also, another thing is Oakland A's are kind of notorious for having just this massive amount of foul territory space. That's going to be gone too. So really going to struggle if you're Oakland because you can't rely on a bunch of foul outs anymore. You're going to have to strike these guys out, and it's not going to happen. I'm telling you that right now.
What a mess.
Yeah, what a mess. What a mess. But Zeke, let's move on from the A's because I it's not good for my blood pressure to keep talking about them at this rate, you know. Let's just kind of run through a little bit what's been going on. So we have some notes here prepared for all the teams in the MLB. We're going to just kind of go through some quick hitters here, kind of run down what happened this last week, if there's anything that caught your eye. And we'll just kind of go through there. How does it sound to do a little rundown of on-field play? Is what
Sounds
I'm
great, John. Let's
let's
go through it.
Let's go through it. Let's start with the Yankees, man. We talked about it a little bit last week. 8-2 now. Very impressive start for the Yankees. Not only did they have that 4-0 sweep of the Astros, but really took it. They took it to the Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays, winning both of those series. You know, Juan Soto was a big guy we talked about. He's cooled off a little bit, but still hitting .333. Anthony Volpe has been hitting very well. Also, is there anything that really sticks out to you for the Yankees? You think they're going to keep up this start?
It has been a surprising start for me. I know you're a little higher on the Yankees than me starting out, but with guys like Volpe coming out, Juan Soto kind of setting the stage, I think it's going to be a team that just hits a lot of home runs, man. Stanton had, I think, a 2 or 3 game stretch where he hit a home run each game, right after I
As
dropped him in
soon
a
as you
fantasy
dropped it.
league. But I do think that's all he's done, so that makes me feel better. But then even their pitching's been, it's been okay. ERAs in the low to mid threes, high twos. So they've been putting it together. Is it sustainable? If everybody stays healthy, maybe.
I think another
We'll
key
see.
piece is Garrett Cole, right? If he comes back as expected and he's pitching at the level that he was for the amount of time that he's able to and he's not sidelined, that's a huge difference maker that you're looking at 1 to 2 months in the season. So that's another reason why I think this hot start is very, very important for New York. It's important that they start strong.
And they really needed something, you know. They needed some sort of momentum, some sort of hope, I think, to get things trending in the right direction as an organization in general. So yeah, good
Juan
start by the
Soto's a guy.
Yankees.
A team that's kind of hot on their tail, unexpectedly, Zeke.
Is it? Is it,
I would say unexpectedly
John?
is the Boston Red Sox. Now they did lose today, so they're now 7-4. They lost to the Orioles today, but man, did they start off nicely. They had a couple series wins. I think they split a 4-game series with the Mariners, but then they beat the Oakland A's as well. For the Red Sox, Zeke, it's been the pitching. They kind of took a risk this year. You know, they were really linked to Jordan Montgomery big time. I don't know if you heard this, Zeke, but there are rumors that his wife was doing a residency out in Boston for medical school. So they were pretty much everybody saying, oh, the Sox need to sign Jordan Montgomery. They need to do this, yada, yada. They didn't. And it's a risk that's paid off so far. I know it's early in the season, but Tanner Houck, Nick Pivetta, who's going to be sidelined for 15 days, so put an asterisk there. Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock all have ERAs under one. Pitching's getting it done for the Red Sox. Now you mentioned you're not too surprised.
I think in our preview, John, I was a little higher on the Red Sox than everybody else because of the top of their lineup, which it hasn't been foolproof so far. Rafael Devers hasn't gotten off to a great start, but Tyler O'Neill has come out and hit some bombs. He's
He's got
got five
something to
home runs on the
prove.
season. I would guess that he's probably leading the league or at least tied with five. Guys like Tristan Casas, who people think are going to break out, Yoshida, Rafaela, Jaren Duran. There's enough firepower to go with a lot of strikeouts in the rotation that they may sneak
Get some runs.
up the rankings
They
as we
could.
go throughout the season.
They could. They could. Now, one thing I will say, Bobby Dalbec did get sent down today. I don't know if you saw that. Kind of a minor thing. I just know a couple years ago we were talking about him, like he's gonna be a big big guy there, but you gotta be thrilled with a 7-4 start. Even the bullpen, you're looking at Kenley Jansen too. He's off to a nice start. Things are clicking with Boston, and I know Korda's always been a guy that does a lot with a little, so maybe we're looking up here in a couple of weeks, and Boston's still going strong. We'll have to see. But I think, Zeke, I think it's a matter of time. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Baltimore Orioles are now 6-4 because they did win today. I'm a little disappointed with them. I feel like with series against the Angels, the Royals, and the Pirates, I would expect them to be a little bit higher than 6-4, but you really get a jolt in the arm with Jackson Holliday coming up, don't you?
Absolutely. I think we all deep down knew it wouldn't be too long before they had Holiday up just because of the hype around him. So they're calling him up and hopefully he can provide a spark for him. In these situations, John, I don't really get so worried about a team like this because I believe in talent and I believe that talent always rises to the top. And we just got too much of it. And not to mention that, but they have, if the guys in the major league roster struggle, they've got so many talented players in the minor leagues. Triple-A Northfold the other night scored something like 21, 22 runs. Four or five of their top prospects had four or five hits each with 8 or 10 RBIs slash runs. I mean, it was crazy. I know an article came out through ESPN, I think, about if you pitted the Norfolk AAA team for the Orioles against the Oakland Athletics, who would win? And I don't think
Good
you or me,
question.
either one, could say confidently that the Athletics would win.
No, absolutely
So,
not.
I'm not worried about the Orioles. I am super excited to see Holiday coming up. I think some of those other guys down in AAA will be up sooner than later. Outside of one blip on the radar, Corbin Burns has had two very quality starts out of three. So,
And also that Zeke Grayson Rodriguez is looks like he maybe turned in a corner here. He's
yeah.
two good starts, 2.19 ERA. He struck out. Let's see how many he struck out. 16 in his two starts. I think it's a very promising start. You start to look, hey, maybe Kyle Bradish comes back in too. If those three are firing, could be a dangerous team here for Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Now,
Absolutely. No worries for me, John.
no worries for me. Okay, you talked me off the ledge. Not that I was on the ledge, but you're right. I shouldn't panic at all. Tampa Bay, Zeke, 5-5 right now. Narrowly with a victory in a series in Colorado this past weekend. Crazy game on Friday. I don't know if you caught that or not, but I think they were down 4 or 5 runs heading into the ninth. They tied it just to lose to Ryan McMahon's walk-off home run. I believe it was in extras. But the Rays, we've seen some strong spots. Aaron Civale, a guy who was kind of struggling in Cleveland. Rays took a chance on him. He's had a good start. Zach, I believe is it Little or Lytle? It's one of the two. But he's got a 0.83 ERA as well, and that includes a start at Coors Field, which is nice to see. Ryan Pep, is it Pepio Pepois?
Pepois.
Pepois. He was a now Zeke. He was one of those guys in the Glasnow trade, correct? I believe.
Yes, that is correct. I think he was one of the main pieces in the Glasnow trade.
Fantastic start. Was it yesterday? I believe yesterday or Sunday. 10 strikeouts, I think. 9, 10 strikeouts.
11, 11, I think.
11. Okay. All right. Go off. Go off. But he's pitching well. Little sluggish start from the bats. Getting a little pop from Isak Paredes, but Randy Arozarena has been pretty quiet. Haven't heard much out of him. Hoping he comes around. And then Zach Eflin, guy that I acquired early on in the fantasy season, he's been stumbling a little bit out the gate. What do you think when we're sitting here talking in a week or two? Let's say this, Zeke. Let's say by Memorial Day, do you think the Rays or do you think the Red Sox are higher in the standings?
I think it's going to be close, honestly. I could see it. I'm going to take the Red Sox
Okay.
barely. I think if you push that out a little further, maybe closer to the All-Star break, I'm going to take the Rays. Because I do think it's easier for teams to come out of the gate hot, especially teams that are kind of exceeding expectations. But then when you take the average over the course of a longer stretch, the teams that should be better tend to get there. So, another month or so, I'm gonna give it to the Red Sox. The Rays, I think, are gonna hover around that 500 range most, if not all, of the season, and just be one of those teams in the hunt for a wild card at the end. So.
Yeah. See, I could see that. I see your logic. I'm gonna go. I agree that I think it's gonna be pretty close. I think Tampa Bay is gonna edge them out just a little bit. They just know how to do it. They know how to manufacture wins. Seems like they've got this down to a science. So, I think Tampa will figure it out. I do. A team, Zeke, that I'm starting to ring a little alarm bell on. I'm officially gonna go on record.
Ring it.
I know it's early. I am having some serious concerns about the Toronto Blue Jays. They're off to a 4-6 start. I believe they're going to win tonight. I haven't checked here. But I'm very concerned about Kevin Gausman. I'm not sure if you read up on him at all, but he struggled a little bit. He had a little bit of a setback at the end of spring training. There's been a pretty big dip in velocity in his first two starts in 2024. That's a little bit of a concern. You also add in, I don't know if you saw this, Alek Manoah, who was supposed to be the fifth spot in the rotation, had a start yesterday in single A. I don't know where he's at, but he threw, I think it was eight, was it 16 out of his 18 first pitches were balls, and he had four straight walks. So command's an issue. Alek Manoah is struggling. Chris Bassitt, nice start tonight. Jose Barrios has looked pretty good, but if you look at their actual stats, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, Dalton Varsho, George Springer, Alejandro Kirk, Kevin Kiermaier, all are hitting below 200 right now. So the offense isn't showing up either. Bats will heat up. But I could see Toronto potentially being one of those teams when we get to late July, early August, at a crossroads deciding what they're going to do. Are they going to sell off some assets and potentially rebuild? I think it's possible that we might have a little sale if this continues.
Absolutely, John. They've kind of fallen off the wagon here. Speaking to Kevin Gausman, he's a splitter heavy pitcher. And I know I've heard people in the past talk about how splitter heavy pitchers, they either have it or they don't. And when they lose their feel for the ball, they can go through some stretches where it just struggles. Yu Darvish has been one of those that. Split finger is one of the pitches he throws, and he'll have periods where he just sucks, and then all of a sudden he figures it out and he's great again. I did hear an interview this week, I think, or a quote from Gausman, and he said, "If you were to ask me what my fastball velocity is, it's somewhere between 89 and 98, and I
Yeah.
never really know where it's going to be, and I couldn't tell you going into the start what it's going to be, but." That's just the way I pitch. And, I kind of tend to my body. And he said, that's somewhat normal for me. Now, maybe a little bit of stretch, a little bit of cover, but with all the pitching injuries that we've had, you can't help but wonder.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned. Now they could turn this around. I know Bichette had a home run tonight, so that's great for Toronto, but just keep an eye on them, is all I'll say. Keep an eye on them. I think things could go south pretty quick. Hopefully, for Blue Jays fans, for our Canadian listeners, if there's any out there, hopefully they turn around, but we'll have to see. That's kind of your little rundown of the AL East. Zeke, AL Central, division near and dear to my heart, of course. As of this afternoon, I have to update this a little bit, but the Cleveland Guardians, all right, were the top of the AL Central. At 7-3, just lost to the White Sox today, which is pretty embarrassing if you ask me. Some embarrassment that I'm sure you know a little bit about, Zeke, but I have no clue about.
We did lose one.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, Shane Bieber out for the season. That's a huge blow. He was shaping up to be their ace again. Potential Cy Young. I shouldn't say candidate, but you know, he was pitching like a Cy Young candidate. But Logan Allen struggled a little bit today, and Tanner Bibee, Bibby. I always, some of these guys just have goofy names that I just,
Bye.
is it Bibee?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it is Bibee,
Okay,
actually.
Bibee. We'll say Bibee. They're stepping up a little bit. A guy that's really impressive here, and I know it was, I think it was 2 years ago, was Stephen Kwan, right? Stephen Kwan started with that little hitting streak a couple years ago. When I was doing my notes, he was hitting 349 out of the gate. He's a guy that you like to see play well. So we'll see what happens with Cleveland. They benefited from a pretty easy schedule, playing Seattle and Oakland out west, beat the Twins twice over the weekend. I know you were high on Cleveland last week, Zeke. Are you buying this hot start out of the gate for the Guardians, or do you think they're going to lose a little bit of momentum with their ace going down?
I think they're going to lose some momentum because how could you lose in Shane Bieber? But pitching is one of those for the Indians I haven't really been too concerned about just because they have a history of pretty developing talent there. So not quite as concerning. But interesting thing about Stephen Kwan, you mentioned him. I did hear an interview with him talking about how the Cleveland Indians staff in general is encouraging, or over the offseason, encourage Kwan to swing more aggressively, and really try to swing for power. He said, great, you can get on base, but we really need you to hit for more power, get some more extra base hits, etc. And he's really embraced that. So he's changed his swing up a little bit to try to increase his power. At this point, he still only has one home run, but his average has not suffered. And his slugging percentage has gone up a little bit. So, could be a big year for Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, could be. We'll see what happens with the Guardians. I don't know. I just look at that lineup every time and I'm like, yeah, you know, you got Andrés Giménez, you've got Jose Ramírez. Nothing that really screams division champions to me. Maybe that's just me hating on Cleveland, hating on Ohio, but it'll have to be the pitch. I always say at the start of the year, if Cleveland's gonna have success this year, it's gonna start with the pitching. And when you lose one of your workhorses, two of them, if you include Lucas Giolito, it's gonna be a tough uphill battle.
Interesting names to look out for. Chase DeLotter and Kyle Manzardo, two guys in AAA. Well, DeLotter's in the single, or the DeLotter's in AA, Manzardo's in AAA, but two prospects that are fairly highly touted, that could get a look at some point this season if the Indians were to hit a little bit of a slow, sluggish spot.
Guardians.
Oh, my bad. Call me out.
Guardians.
Yes.
Think it's
If the Guardians were to hit a slow stretch, they do have some talent waiting in the wings.
It's 2024, Zeke.
I know,
I
man.
shouldn't have to
You
continue
should
with
cancel me.
you.
You should
Cancel.
cancel
You're
me.
done. You're done. Well, a team that as of this afternoon is once again tied atop the AL Central. Let's talk a little bit about my Tigers. All right. I'll get on my box here. I was a little disappointed. I've been a little disappointed with the Tigers over the last week. We had that great start against the White Sox, won three on the road, won the first two against the Mets. Ended up, I don't know if you saw this or not, but we had a no-hitter going in the eighth inning in the second game of doubleheader. Pete Alonso hit this ball that was essentially looked like below his knees out for a home run to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth. Tigers end up dropping it into extra innings. And then we lose two out of three to the Oakland Athletics, which is embarrassing.
Ouch.
Yeah, I just wrote in parentheses, yikes, it's not good. Lost yesterday to Pittsburgh in the series opener, but rebounded today. We were down 3-1 heading into the top of the ninth, have a little rally, get four runs on the board, end up winning 5-3. A little bit of a sign of offense that we've needed to see from the Tigers because we really haven't seen any thus far. It's really been the pitching that's carried us so far. But I'm a little concerned with Kenta Maeda. He hasn't been pitching as efficiently as we hoped. Jack Flaherty had a fantastic start against the White Sox, but now it's looking like it was the White Sox more so than it was Jack Flaherty as he came back down to earth with a tough outing on Sunday. It's been good to see Casey Mize back on the mound. He pitched last week against the Mets, giving up 3 runs over 4 1/3. He pitched again today. Not the most stellar outing, but I was really impressed with what I saw from Matt Manning in the second half of the doubleheader last week. Went 5 2/3, no hit inning, had to get pulled, of course, because he was getting up there in terms of pitch count. I wouldn't be surprised if Manning comes in to replace one of these guys that's been struggling. Reese Olson had a pretty rough outing yesterday as well. I think it's a matter of time before Manning slots into that rotation. But yeah, Zeke, I'm worried about the offense. Riley Green's hit a little bit of, he's hit some home runs. I think he's got 3 on the year so far. But Torkelson, we need to see some more power from him. Need to see more consistent. I believe our best hitter right now in terms of average is Gio Urshela, which I never would have thought.
Gio.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid. I like having Mark Canha on the team. He's a guy that just always gives you a good professional at bat, finds a way to get on base. But I think if the Tigers are successful, it all boils down to the pitching. Tarek Skubal's been friggin' awesome. He looked a little shaky against Oakland in that sixth inning, but all in all, been doing really well. And then, of course, Shelby Miller, Jason Foley, and Andrew Chafin have been fantastic out of the bullpen. So, if that offense can get going, I know this defense and pitching can help us win some games. But we'll see. We're going to get tested here, Zeke. We've got 4 games against Minnesota. Then I believe we have 3 against Texas, and then another 3 against Minnesota. So this next week, we're talking about a lot of playoff caliber competition. So we'll see where we stand a week from now for sure.
Absolutely, John. Well said.
Yeah. Zeke, a team that I know you're interested in, okay? I know I talked about the Tigers there. Kansas City Royals, 6-4, 4-game sweep the White Sox. That new rotation, Zeke, it's looking pretty good.
Looking pretty killer, John.
Yeah.
Looking pretty killer.
I'm excited about what I'm seeing from Brady Singer. I know you're probably going to want to talk about him. But a nice little ERA, 0.6 ERA through 2 starts with 14 strikeouts. You impressed
Yeah,
with the turnaround here?
absolutely. And I expected this, John, fully.
Yeah,
I
of
expected
course.
the Royals to have an overall sub 250 ERA as a team with two guys under one. Cole Reagans, I know he pitched today. Have you seen the score, how he did?
They're tied 3-3 right now in the ninth with
Okay.
the Astros. Yeah.
Okay, so he had a pretty good game today as
Yeah.
well. I think he has been as advertised so far this season, which has been great to see. Their lineup has been solid at times.
Yeah.
MJ Melendez has been one
Yeah.
of the best hitters in baseball to start the season. You look at his Statcast page, which I love to look at. He's up there in the top percentiles in a lot of different categories. Still a goose egg from Benny P. I don't think he's ever gonna pan out. But Bobby Witt Jr. has done really well as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see.
Royals, I don't think sustained. I would put money on the Red Sox before I would the Royals at this point, as far as making a push late into the season. But I do think it's good for the franchise. Try to get a little something going in Kansas City. So.
Yeah, I agree. I really like it. That's the thing. I can't hate on the Royals too much. I really like Bobby Witt Jr. I want him to be prominent and in a winning situation. I think he's fun for the league. But yeah, I Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, I like them. I just don't see them being sustainable studs for the Royals. So I think the wheels will fall off eventually. I think, the 6-4 record is inflated by 4 straight wins against the White Sox, who could be as bad as the A's this year, I think it's
Yeah.
fair to say. So we'll see. We'll put a pin in.
Michael Wacha was also one of the reasons why I lost to you, John.
That's right. I made a clutch call on Friday night and I said, I'm going to start Michael Wacha. He's going against the White Sox and
He's
32
scoring him
points.
30 points.
He did. He did.
Jeez.
That's
Jeez.
championship managing right there, Zeke. That's championship managing.
Don't have
And
that.
you know it.
Yeah,
The Twins, Zeke, pleasantly surprised at how poorly they've played. I am. They're 3-5 right now.
that
They
coming.
just lost to the Dodgers tonight. But the offense has been struggling without Royce Lewis. It's been beautiful. As a team, they are the worst. They have the worst batting average in the MLB, hitting 191. That's pretty abysmal. Pitching's been okay. You know, Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan are off to nice starts. If I were the Royals, I'd throw in Bailey Ober a little bit more often, you know, get him in there, get his experience. He's been terrible. So I hope we see more starts
He
from him.
pitched well today, Bailey Ober.
Did he? Did
Did
they
he?
win? Did they win today, Zeke?
No, but he
No,
pitched well.
they
He
didn't.
pitched well.
Okay. Well, compared to his standards, it's pretty easy to do. Byron Buxton's still on the field. That's a positive if you're Minnesota. Carlos Correa has actually been playing pretty well. I don't, you know, I'm being sarcastic here, but Correa, I saw today, he has the best on-base percentage in the MLB, even better than Mookie Betts. So, Correa's off to a nice little start. He's not going to put up a ton of power numbers. I just don't think that's the player that he is. He's not really that great fantasy baseball number, you know, home runs and RBI guy, but he gets on base, he plays great defense, and he's doing his thing for Minnesota. So that's a bright spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not a lot going on here
Yep.
in Minnesota so far. My buddy or my boy Alex Martin, or excuse me, Austin Martin,
Awesome, yeah.
coming up, but has he even been in the lineup yet, really?
I don't know.
Before stats. Yeah, only 5 plate appearances, so
Okay.
not utilizing him yet either.
Yeah.
Subpar showing so far, just like you said, John. And
Yeah.
I have a feeling they're going to turn it around, much to your surmise.
I
But
think they probably will too, but I'm enjoying it while they're not. So, you
yes.
know, I'll take it for now. I'll take it for now.
Yes.
Dude, the White Sox, I've mentioned it a little bit earlier. They might be the worst team in baseball right now. Not really their fault. So yeah, I'm really concerned about Luis Robert
Yeah,
Jr. right
yeah.
now. He's going to the IL again, hip flexor strain. It's going to be out at least 6 to 8 weeks. If you're the White Sox, though, are you really, really enticed to get him back on the field? I don't think so.
I mean, why would you? Isn't this an injury he's had before?
Yeah, he's had this consistently.
So yeah, I think this is a shutdown. Chicago hasn't really made a lot of moves to say, hey, we're competing this year, and they're certainly not performing that way. So yeah, I'd shut him down for the year and serve him. Try to get him healthy, try to get somebody to figure out his hip issues. Leave more time to just kind of sift through the muck of, I guess, picks and talents, et cetera, that they've got on their team. Try to figure out what guys need to stay and really just try to revamp in the offseason.
Yeah.
It's been fun to see Garrett Crochet come out. He's pitched
Absolutely.
really well. I know he is Kyle Blevins, who we had on last time, his boy, because he pitched at
Gee.
UT Knoxville. Michael Soroka, of course, former Braves pitcher. He's done okay. Struggled in his first start, came out better in his second start. Eric Fetty, too, coming over from the KBO. There's a little bit of hype around him to start the season just because of Merrill Kelly and what he's been able to do coming off a stint in the KBO. So, I mean, John,
Yeah.
sucks to be a White Sox fan right now.
It sucks. It does. I don't really feel, I mean, I do feel a little bad for him, I guess, because they were so close. It seemed like they were right on the cusp of doing something big. And was it 2021 when they won the AL Central? And Robert was swinging the ball, and Jimenez was in the lineup a decent amount, and Tim Anderson had some pop to his bat. Lucas Giolito was looking like a Cy Young candidate. Now pretty much all those guys are gone or hurt, and it's just been tough sledding for the White Sox as they rebuild here. But yeah, I mean, somebody's got to be worse than the AL Central, and I think Chicago, it's pretty safe to say they're going to be the worst team here for a while.
Who wins more games over the next 3 years, White Sox or A's? Is it the A's? I mean, excuse me, is it the
Oh,
White Sox?
I think it's got to be the White Sox just because I think the A's aren't going to do anything. Like at least the White Sox,
Can you name 3 players on the Athletics right now?
Zach Gelof, JJ Bleday, and JD Davis, but neither like JD Davis and Bleday were not there. Well, was Bleday acquired in a trade? I can't remember it. Paul
I think he
Blackburn.
was drafted by the Athletics, I think.
Bleday was?
I think so. Or
Really?
no, he was with the Marlins, so
Yeah, I was gonna
he
say
was traded,
he must have been in a trade or something along the way.
yeah.
And then who else? Well, I also know this because I just watched them for three games. And they kind of beat up on us, unfortunately. Somehow. Paul Blackburn as well. JP Sears. Dude, I did experience the Mason Miller effect. He came in on Saturday for a two-inning save, and we couldn't do anything against them. I was like, oh my gosh. Because they could use him for two-inning saves because they don't get that many save opportunities. So that was depressing to watch.
Yeah, I think it'd be, I mean, I think it would be interesting to s transition him to a, what are they called? Not a start.
Starter, like receiver role. Yeah.
And just push his innings throughout the year. Start out with pitching two innings and then work him up to three and four.
See,
And
I think we should start the narrative of instead of calling pitchers that pitch 2 to 3 innings at the beginning of game starters, we need to call them appetizers. I think that makes more sense, right?
I think it does.
Starter is very, because if you say, oh, a starter, you're thinking a guy that's going 6 innings. If you say an appetizer, you know
Oh,
that there's more to come after.
I think you're
So
right. Yeah.
it would be good to see Mason Miller in an appetizer role. I agree.
I think that's it. Oh, what's your favorite appetizer out there, John?
Is nachos considered an appetizer?
It can be. Is it to you?
See, the thing is for nacho, if I eat nachos, that's my meal.
Okay.
You can
Yeah, me
put
too.
any plate of nachos, doesn't matter the size, in front of me. And I will eat the entire plate.
What kind of nachos is your favorite? I
I
mean, those
like,
come in wide varieties.
ooh, that's a good question. I like standard corn tortilla chips, not too salty. I don't like salty chips.
Really?
Not too salty.
Oof.
There's enough sodium and everything else in the rest of my nachos. I like the liquidy cheese, like a queso cheese. I
Yeah.
don't
That's a
that
big
that's my
deal. I don't
favorite.
like the melted cheese stuff.
No, I don't either because usually they don't melt it long enough. They
Yes. Just
it's whole rave issues, as you know.
100% agree with that.
Yes, I like a lot of chopped onions, jalapenos. No, here's my pickled jalapenos.
Ooh.
I
Ooh.
love pickled jalapenos. Give me
So
a lot of that.
are you a spicy guy?
I like a little kick. That's why I like
Okay.
it. If it's just a fresh cut jalapeno and you get the seeds in there, it's a little too spicy.
Okay.
Give me that
Fair.
little bit of pickle. You get a little bit of spice, but the seeds aren't there anymore. And it's like a little
Okay.
sweet spice. I like that little sweet spice, if
Okay.
that makes sense.
If only y'all could see the way John just said that. That'd been
Sweet
awesome.
spice.
A
Yeah,
little
I have
sweet
to.
spice.
Man, my eyebrows are
Yeah,
going up and down. My head is shaking a little bit to emphasize.
if you're not watching the YouTube right now, you're
Yeah,
missing
there you go.
out.
Yeah, right. I would also say, Zeke, you got to have good amount of sour cream. You got to have a good amount of shredded lettuce.
Would you call it a dollop of Daisy?
I like a couple dollops.
Oh, okay. You
Couple
want a
dollops,
truckload of
but
Daisy?
if I'm making it myself, reduced fat, right? Got to watch the cholesterol, of course, but I do like my sour cream. For meat, I'm trying to think. I think I just like ground beef. I do like ground beef.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good nacho. I love nachos. Nachos, arguably, probably my favorite food, in all honesty.
You know,
A good plate of nachos.
in optometry school, going back there in Memphis, my grocery list consisted of two things of queso ponchos,
Oh yeah. Oh, those are
four
so good.
bags of tortilla chips, and that was literally my snack
Yep.
every single night.
That's right.
I've come to find, though, an easy at-home nacho is you get your queso dip. Okay, whatever your preference is. Ours comes in a little square container now from Kroger. Walmart, actually, my bad. I like the blue container, not the green container. And it has to be the Cantina tortilla chips from Kroger. I mean,
Oh,
Walmart, sorry.
wait, is
My bad.
this is not Tostitos. This is
No. This is Kroger brand and it's Cantina style. Okay, I'm
They
the
love
opposite of you,
cantinas.
John.
Okay, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing
I'm opposite of you
you.
because the reason I like the Cantina is because they are very salty and I
Yeah.
love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you can even get good bags of Cantina and then you can get bad bags of Cantina because some of them just don't have enough salt on them. But man, when you open it up and you've grabbed that first chip, you know what kind of bag you have. But you put the little bit of queso into a bowl and then you get a bag of the crumbled bacon, you know, the bacon that you put on
Like
like a
bacon
baked
bits.
potato. Yeah,
Okay,
bacon
yeah.
bits. You take that, throw it in your queso chip, cheese, small bowl, and then you microwave that for about a minute and a half. And the juices from the bacon kind of infuses in the queso, and then you pour that on top of your chips, and it's perfect.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I might have to try that. I have to try that. Right now, I don't get as much queso at home. If I make nachos at home, I go for the
Yeah.
shredded, I do go for the shredded cheese, I'll be honest. And it's
Oh,
still pretty good. It's still pretty good
okay.
because I'm the one that's controlling it. If I go to a restaurant, they usually undercook the cheese. It's a disaster. I put it in the oven.
Do you ever send it back?
No, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I can't do that. I'm a millennial, man. I don't like confrontation. I just grin and bear it. And I mean, good not bad nachos are still good, right? Like crappy nachos, I'm still gonna enjoy it. The ingredients are still there to have a good nacho experience.
You know what I want you to do next time, John?
What was that?
Want you to do next time you go to a place and you have that experience of, you know, they didn't cook your cheese
Disappointment.
long enough.
Yeah.
Hey, don't even bring up anything. Just don't eat the nachos except maybe a couple chips. And when the waiter comes back, just be like, "Hey, can I get a to-go box? Because I need to cook this longer when I get home."
Oh my God. Please throw it in the oven at least 350 for 10 minutes. Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know who probably has some killer nachos?
Who's that?
Texas Rangers ballpark.
I've heard their nachos are better than their play right now.
You're disappointed with the Rangers?
I want them to be 9-0, man.
9-0. Oh my goodness. So this guy Zeke, he's given the Baltimore Orioles all the grace in the world. The Texas Rangers, who have to play a feisty Cubs team, the Rays, who are always a tough out, and then their in-state rival, the Astros, and go 6-3, a better record than the Orioles, who played the Angels and the Royals. I can't believe that.
Hey, full disclosure, I'm just messing with you.
Okay.
I honestly did not realize their record was as good as it was.
Yeah, thank you,
My
Zeke.
bad. My
Give some
bad.
respect to the Rangers, the defending champions, Zeke. Come on, come
Hey,
on,
I will say I'm a fan of the Rangers right now.
dude. Their offense. I mean, we knew heading into the season it was going to be all about their offense, and they rank second in average on base percentage, slugging percentage, pretty much you name it. They're getting it done. Little bit of a slowish start for Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford, but they're young. They're going to figure it out. Still getting good production from Adolis Garcia. Once again, shot out of a cannon to start the season.
Is Adolis Garcia becoming one of the bigger personalities in baseball? I
You
mean,
think so?
every time that guy hits a home run, he's pimping it, man, and I
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah. I like him. I do like him a lot. I think that whole team's just a lot of fun. Ew. You get some young guys in there with Langford and Carter. If they start hitting, they're going to be a big personality. I'm liking what I'm seeing from the Rangers so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you? Yeah. What were you going to say?
Interesting. Native Aldi's done really well to start the season.
Guys,
So
he's a
is
great guy.
this guy named Cody Bradford, which I did not know anything about until a couple of days ago. And I was just looking through stats on fantasy. But he's got 2.13 ERA. He's got 10 strikeouts over 12 innings, one walk. He's pitching great. So.
Yeah.
We'll see how that pitching staff does, but a lot of
Yeah.
things to like. The one downside, though, is they did lose Josh Young,
They
which I
did.
believe we talked about last time.
We did. Yep. 60-day IL now. That's an interesting note because they said he was going to be probably 1 to 2 months. Him getting on the 60-day IL tells me he's going to probably be on the longer end of that thing, or longer end of that range. And he's young, right? No pun intended, because I totally his
I see
age.
what you did there, yeah.
But with those younger guys with the injuries, you do want to be a little bit cautious. So that does stink. I'm not
And
thrilled. Yeah, go ahead.
I think when they went in to do the surgery, because it was a fracture, right?
Yeah, they found there's more damage than they
Yeah,
expected. Yeah.
which elicited the 60-day IL stint, so
Yeah, it's disappointing. But I'm a little concerned about John Gray and Dane Dunning. But again, you're getting reinforcements. You're going to kind of look for the calendar to see when DeGrom's coming back here pretty soon. I think the Rangers will be fine. I think they're a really good, talented team. I'm glad that they're having sustained success. I think it's going to be fun watching the Rangers and the Astros kind of go at it here. We'll talk about the Astros in a minute. But surprisingly, Zeke, the team that's second in the AL West, it's not the Astros. It's not even the Mariners. It's a team that you thought would be off to a good start, and it's the Los Angeles Angels. 5-4 so far. Mike Trout, 946 OPS. And I'll add this, had another home run tonight while we were podcasting. Five home runs on the season for Mike Trout. He has been playing at that MVP caliber level. The question is, of course, how long can he sustain it? But I've liked what I've seen from the Angels so far. Logan Ohapi hitting over 400. He's got to be, one of the better offensive catchers in the MLB. And he's still quite young as well. Reed Detmers, a guy that we always kind of crap on a little bit, but he's off to a nice little start. He has a sub two ERA over his first two starts. Liking what I'm seeing there. Any thoughts on the Angels coming out the gate? Not super hot, but not bad either. I think they're a pleasant surprise.
I've actually got several thoughts here.
Okay.
First of which is Reed Detmers, which I believe your brother has in our fantasy
He
league.
does. He
I
does.
am absolutely fascinated by Reed Detmers. So, Nate, if you're still listening, shoot me a trade offer because I love that
I'll text him.
guy.
I'll text him.
Another guy is Tyler Anderson. He's
Yeah.
a guy who I just happened to look up, and he's now at 14 innings, zero ERA, hasn't given up any runs. He's not a high strikeout guy, but he's a good, just weak contact, keep the ball in play sort of pitcher. Last year had a little bit of a down year in his first year with the Angels, but the year before that had a really quality season with the Dodgers and was a really important pitcher in the rotation then. So look out for Tyler Anderson as well. When you look at the lineup, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Mike Trout. Obviously, injuries are the biggest concern with him. But one thing interesting that I saw, again, the interview with him talking about how Ron Washington came into the team, and one of the things he told Trout was, "I'm gonna let you do your thing, man," and has really encouraged him and as well as the rest of the team to take advantage of the new rules and steal bases again. So what that kind of told me is it's possible that the ownership and the management in the past may have been holding Trout back a little bit from really going after his potential, because Trout went from a guy that gets you a lot of home runs and gets you a lot of steals to basically getting no steals, even though his sprint percentage or his sprint percentile, as far as how fast he can run, is still in like the 99th percentile of the entire league. So I don't know. Ron Washington was always a guy the players loved in Atlanta, and maybe he's able to spark this team and send them some better record than the last couple of years. I'm excited for them, low key.
I hope they can sustain it. And to your point, one thing that is interesting about Ron Washington is after they really looked embarrassed in their first two games out in Baltimore, he holded or he held a team meeting, right? And basically said, "Hey, we got to get this together. We got to right the ship." And since then, they've been 5-2. You're seeing a little, like we said, resurgence from Mike Trout. Even a guy like Taylor Ward is hitting the ball pretty well too. So, a little bit of excitement out in Anaheim. We'll have to see how long they can sustain it, and when they go against some of the big boys in their division, how they can hold up. Zeke, another candidate for disappointment early on. Seattle, 4-6 right now. They split with the Red Sox, lost 2-3 to Cleveland and Milwaukee. They dropped one last night to Toronto. I put on the notes here, the aces aren't really acing. George Kirby gave up 8 runs in his last start. He has an ERA over 5. Gave up, I believe, 4 or 5 runs tonight as well in a loss to Toronto. Luis Castillo has a ERA over 6. Hasn't
He's
really.
still in spring training.
He's still in spring training. That's right. The weather's still
Luis
cold out
Castillo,
there.
spring training.
The weather's cold, so don't take too much in that. Logan Gilbert as well. I mean, he's been fine, I guess, but the offense is really just not that great. I think we've just got to acknowledge that Julio Rodriguez doesn't wake up until May or June because his OPS is under 500, which is really brutal. For those unfamiliar with OPS, you're looking, what would you say a good OPS is? You're looking at about what, 700? Yeah.
Somewhere in there, John.
493 for a guy that's been touted as an AL MVP candidate. Brutal.
Really not a lot of positive here, John.
No.
And the thing about the Mariners is there's been teams in the past, like the Nationals, the Phillies, they've won the World Series, where teams start out really slow and they make a run at the end, and that's what matters. I do think Seattle's in a division, though, that they can't afford to do that.
Right.
With teams like, I would say, the
Cleveland.
Astros most
Oh,
years,
yeah.
the Rangers. I mean, I don't think you can catch the Rangers if you get off to too slow of a start.
Yeah, you're kind of like what we saw last year with Seattle. I mean, we had something kind of similar where, you look up in July or June and July and you're like, man, best case scenario, we get a wild card. Not exactly what you're hoping for. And the Mariners didn't even make a wild card last year, and they didn't really do a whole lot to bolster their roster this offseason. So kind of get what you pay for with the Mariners. But a team that's also off to a pretty slow start is Houston. Very, very, they just lost. I just got an update. Salvador Perez with a walk-off in the 10th inning. So
That's my Royals,
there's the
baby.
Royals. The Royals go to 7-4, and the Astros drop to 4-8. Swept at home by the Yankees, split a four-game series with Texas, 2 out of 3. They took 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays, and now they lost their first game against the Royals. Let's start with the good first, and that's got to be Ronel Blanco, who's got to be one of the best stories of this young season. Throwing his fir the first no-hitter of the season against the Blue Jays, took a no-hitter. I know this is important in our matchup because you were starting him Sunday night. Took a no-hitter into the 6th inning before finally giving up a hit against the Rangers. But really impressive. A guy that wasn't even slated to be in the rotation, kind of like what we talked about last week, really solidifying himself as a starting force, especially with the additional injury that we have to talk about here in a minute. But Ronel Blanco, Zeke, pretty impressed with what you're seeing with him.
Yeah, John. I do think it's a little bit of a fairy tale start. Do I think he's going to be able to sustain it? I don't know. Hard to really tell in cases like that. But Houston really needs anything they can get right now, especially from a pitching perspective. Little bit thin right now as far as that goes. Josh Hader, the closer they went out and got, has really struggled coming out of the gates. He's had a couple blown saves, given up a lot of hits and runs. But yeah, guy like Ronel Blanco is good to root for. What's interesting to me, John, looking at Houston, is they're, what'd you say, 4-8 now?
Yep.
But they're hitting pretty well. I look at their lineup and they've actually got a lot of good averages. A lot of guys in the 300s, high twos, Altuve, Alvarez, Kyle Tucker. All those guys have done what we'd expect them to. Yonier Diaz, their up-and-coming catchers, batting 316 with 2 home runs. Jeremy Pena has come out, talked about in the offseason, him changing his swing to get a little more pop. He's got 2 home runs and batting 325 with a pretty good slugging percentage. Where have things gone wrong, John?
It's
What? Where's it at?
they're losing a
What's
lot of close games. And I think one of the things that you talked about earlier is the struggles of some guys in the bullpen. Especially Josh Hader. I mean, I know he blew a save against Toronto. And Ryan Presley's been pretty good, I guess, but I think this rotation also is lacking some of the pop that they've had in the past that they've had to rely on the bullpen a little bit more. I mean, you have no Verlander, which we've talked about before. Luis Garcia is out as well. Lance McCullers, he's usually out. He's out again. And then the news too, Framber Valdez misses a start yesterday because he's having a little bit of forearm tightness as well. So I think you're talking about some starting pitchers that or I guess a weak rotation in general. You're having to rely on some of these guys in the bullpen a little bit more, and I think you're just kind of worn a little bit thin. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned. I mean, Ryan Pressly, 14.73 ERA right now. Josh Hader, 7.2 ERA right now. The only really good guy at the bullpen right now has been Rafael Montero. And I mean, yeah, I don't know, Zeke. I don't know where the answer lies, but potentially losing Framber Valdez, who even with Justin Verlander healthy is probably your best pitcher in the rotation, is very, very concerning. Things could get ugly pretty quick for Houston.
Absolutely, John.
I don't think they will because it's the Astros and they're just consistently good, but it's possible.
But they've got a new manager. Dusty Baker's gone. He's retired. He's actually on a Braves pod, or excuse me, the Braves broadcast yesterday. And
Oh,
it
good
got
for
me
him.
to thinking, you know, was Dusty really such a really big key for this team and their winning ways? We'll see if
Possibly.
they can turn it around. I do think just with the fact that their bats are so good, they got so many talented hitters, and the fact that they're coming out hitting well, I think that will eventually steady the tides and get them headed in the right direction.
Yeah, they feel like one of those teams that's, you know how back in the recession days when they were talking about the bank bailouts and all that, and they said they're too big to fail, right? We had that term used all the time. I think the Astros are too big to fail. I think there's too much power. When you look at Kyle Tucker, Alvarez, Jose Altuve, who's really been shot out of a cannon this year, good to see him hitting so well. I just think at some point they're going to right the ship, and I think they'll be fine. I do. But it's a concern. I tell patients that sometime. I'm like, hey, my concern level's not high, but it's not zero either. So that's why I'm going to investigate further. Same thing with the Astros. Concern level's not high, but it's not zero either. So we'll see.
That's a good way to put it, John.
Yeah, that's how I use for my glaucoma evaluations. I don't want to scare people, but I also want to know, hey, got to keep an eye
I
out.
like that. I could have
Yeah.
used that verbiage literally yesterday.
Use it, man. Use it. Use it. Last team here, Oakland Athletics. We've talked a little bit about them before. I mean, they won touted theory against Detroit. I don't expect them to be world beaters this year. Brent Rooker is another guy that I didn't mention earlier. He's off to a pretty nice start. Paul Blackburn, zero earned runs over 13 innings pitched. He's not going to be an Athletic at the end of the season. I can almost guarantee it. So he'll be an interesting guy to look out for come the deadline, but nothing much to say about Oakland. I don't think they're going to be going anywhere anytime soon. But yeah, Zeke, I think this is a good place. I know you and I have talked about a little bit of what we want our in-season podcast to look like. I think we kind of like the idea of kind of doing a general analysis of some of the big storylines here in the MLB. And then kind of going into a little bit of a deeper dive in each league. So we went through the American League this week, kind of going through all the big storylines, some of the players. We'll do the National League our next time out, and kind of take a deep dive into there. How does that sound?
Sounds great, John.
And
Sounds
of
great.
course, if you're out there listening, you have any ideas or things that you would like to hear that are different, we're definitely open to some suggestions. Of course, we want to keep you guys listening, keep you guys happy. But I think that's going to be a pin in it for now. And a lot of fun, Zeke. I'm looking forward to talking about the National League next time. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about a lot of big storylines going on over there. Talk about the Dodgers. You know, will Mookie Betts still be on a tear? Does Spencer Strider stand a chance to return this season? Who's going to be ahead in the AL or in the NL Central? Are the Pirates still going to be playing with treasure, or is this just fool's gold? We'll find out next time, right?
That's a great segue into our next episode, John.
Yes,
Look forward to
if you don't come back after that teaser, man, I don't know. I don't know if this is the podcast for you.
it. Well, John, it's been fun as always, my friend, and
Absolutely.
great time tonight.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you next time. Okay. Next week, maybe. Depends.
Absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
Actually, John, 2 weeks from now, probably.
Probably 2 weeks from now. Okay.
Probably
So
2 weeks from now.
probably 2 weeks from now. All right. Have a good night.